Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast, episode 204. We are in the last episode of the year. So before we even get into it, make sure for the last episode of the year, like, subscribe, 5-star rate and review wherever you're listening to the podcast, wherever you're watching. Make sure you do that ASAP right now before we get in to our weekly talking points and sessions that we're going to dive into here in a second. So make sure you get that done. We'll give you time. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you know we're going live. Also, like, subscribe, and make sure you can leave comments when applicable as well. Let's get into the market and talk about what's going on. I even have the chart already pulled out. It's been an okay week for the markets. I think it's been up about 1% in the last few days. Again, we saw a big jump towards the end of this year. Let's go a year in review, year to date. Let's look at what's been happening on the S&P 500 index. Again, everyone thought July was the end. Like, we knew that July was the near-term peak, right? And we saw through the fall that stocks start to dip a little bit and then resurge come late October to now where we're hitting pretty much close to all-time highs again year on this year-to-date chart. And so if again, you think about it, these are the whims of the market. And understandably, a lot of people, let's pull it out 5 years and see what happened over the past several years. Pandemic, everyone wanted to invest during 2020, 2021. Things couldn't get any better. Then 2022 happened, right? And it was a long year and change of bear market activity where a lot of people that just started investing at the end of 2021, during 2021, pulled the chips off the table and said, screw this. I no longer believe in the market, whatever that means. Like, it's not a hope theory, right? It's a vehicle for preservation and growth of wealth. It's not a theory for hoping something to happen. But that's why these people have no conviction. They have a short-term mindset. They're not really investing for growth. They're just investing for some flip or some gambling or some different things. And so you've seen a lot of people pull their chips off the table out of their Robinhood accounts, out of their different venues that they were trying to get rich quick. And now as the market rebounds, those people are missed out on all those gains. That's the thing about the market. When you try to time, you're going to miss those gains. It happens in spurts. It happens in short periods of time. So you don't want to try to time these things because it's never going to go in your favor. If you could time it, you are the luckiest person in the world, and you shouldn't even be working if you could literally just time the market because no one could time the market. But again, we saw that this is the backdrop of the last few years, and particularly this year. Again, the theme was, Fed raising rates, companies coming back, but the market was resilient in this time frame. The equities were resilient. If you do 25% year to date on the S&P 500, the NASDAQ barometer near 40 to 50%, the Dow did another 10. So that's a good year in recent memory. Again, it comes off the back of usually when you have a really down year, you have a strong comeback. So it is not surprising. What's going to be interesting is next year. We'll talk about things to think about next year when we get into it. But again, this past week was really quiet. You've seen again the Nasdaq is on track for its best year since 2003, climbing 44%. The last trading day in the year should be tomorrow. So we had a great year. The S&P 500, the Dow's at 13, S&P 500 up over 14%. So again, a really record-setting rebound year. Again, it's a rebound because we had the bear market of 2022, and we are now rebounding a little bit from that. So this is an interesting thing for us to track, and we'll look at what happens a little bit in 2024, what we could potentially expect. But that's something we'll keep our eyes on as we dive into current news of the week. Reddit is going to do an IPO. Did everyone? I think we talked about it earlier, but Reddit is trying to do an IPO. If you don't remember Reddit, it is a pretty much a social media blog platform, forum style platform. They said they weathered their controversy, and they're now ready to do an IPO. They said they did 800. Its ads business is expected to swell to 20% to 800 million in revenue in 2023. So that's an advertising is their main revenue source, I would assume. So yeah, and that's they at first they had a $1 billion forecast for their revenue in 2023, but they're saying they're coming at 800 million. It sits under that, social media forum blog style platform. So I'm curious how it does in an IPO and if it's driving users. I don't know. I want to see their user numbers. But it's something that the big thing for me is the user numbers, how that growth is going, because that's going to drive advertising, and really be the catalyst for them if this IPO is successful. In this environment, I mean, Reddit, I think they've been around so long. IPOing now, it's obviously for them, they're going to raise capital, but I don't know. I don't get it. It took a while. I know they had some controversy that they had to battle through, but seriously, interesting to look at their now trying to IPO. We'll see if it makes sense. Apple users, Apple Watch had a temporary ban, so the Apple Watch models are able to resume and return to stores after the company received a temporary victory in a smartwatch battle. So there was a temporary pause on import ban, in which Apple were forced to stop selling its Series 9 and Ultra watches after the U.S. In the U.S., at the Federal Trade Agency found it infringed on two patents for blood oxygen sensor held by Masimo. So okay, they were potentially infringing on two patents, so they had to stop sales, but they'd have that ban temporarily lifted so they can now resume sales of those series. So this is something that's gonna be battled in court over a long, long period of time. So Apple Masimo battle is now being gonna be battled in court. Apple's has a temporary lift to continue to sell their watches, but you know, these court battles take the motions will be filed time and time again. It doesn't affect Apple that much. I mean, I'm sure they can make changes to either, you know, in the next series, or if they have to even stop this series, it's not going to really be a big dent in what Apple does. But it is something to note because they always are releasing new series, new watches, and you've never really seen a ban really on an Apple product for a while here. Is working from home fair to all? I saw this and I thought this would be good to talk about. Working from home is raising questions about equity in the workplace. Okay, here we go. A survey of data found a large and growing divide when it comes to who can take advantage of that arrangement. Remote work positions are more prevalent for highly paid professionals with more education and job experience in search for full-time opportunities. Companies also shift manager schedules to on-site for those in the office, shift and on-site employee schedules to a 4-day, 10-hour work week. Okay, well, of course, this makes sense. If you are in a higher paid white collar position, of course you're going to have the option to work from home. Usually you're in tech, you're different things. It's going to be easier to do so in those positions, and it makes the most sense. If you're an on-site employee, you're just going to have to do that. It's going to have to be done. It's not always bad. On-site isn't always bad. In-person connection is something we all lacked during COVID and the pandemic, and now we've been able to have that option again, or hybrid option, and some people are taking advantage, some people not. But I don't think it's always bad to be in person, even though sometimes it's great that I say that and I literally work from home every day, 99% of the time. But it's not always bad to be in person when you need to. The startup bubble fueled by the Fed's cheap money policy finally burst in 2023. So we keep hearkening back to 2021. The craziness was, you know, stimulus, printing money, low rates, all this fueled extravagant spending, extravagant investing, investing in companies that didn't even make sense. We talked about Bird declared for bankruptcy. WeWork declared for bankruptcy. There was a record venture investments tied to in those years, tied to low interest rates, cheap money, and startup land. You had people, and I keep harkening to this, there was people raising money for stuff that didn't even make any sense. Like I spoke to a girl that was raising money. She had no clue what she was doing. Raising money for something that had made no sense. And she claimed she had term sheets and all this stuff. It was just crazy times. People that were really, really not well equipped to withstand a bear market, they probably have failed at this point, right? Like, because it's the emperor hasn't closed. The tide is washed up and people are naked under there. So look at it. The last decade came to an end. It was easy for young operator to hop on a Bird scooter and ride it to a nearby WeWork office. Then came COVID. Our shooters and co-working spaces were no longer important, but there was a sudden need for tools to enable remote collaboration. Both periods, money was cheap and plentiful. This year, it all unwound with the Fed lifting its benchmark rate. We've talked about raising rates. It is now in a situation where venture investments have pulled back. So let's look at some of the data. You see Nikola. Tumbled. Nikola was ran by this Trevor Milton dude who's now being sentenced to fraud. Again, there was a lot of people you wouldn't call it fraud. It was more ignorance. They were just people were giving the money for stuff that again wouldn't work. Clubhouse has faded into oblivion. Hop In, another social video conference startup, gone. And you have definitely other people being booked on charges of fraud and different things of that nature. So yeah, 2024 is going to be another year for the talent and people that are driven but con high conviction to continue to make their way up the ladder and continue to do things that other people won't. And so I really think that's going to be an interesting year of 2024 because, again, take the 2 years of 2020, 2021 craziness, bear market time, and a slowing down of the economy in 2022, 2023, 2024. It's a we'll still see what happens, but it's going to be incredible to see again, going back to the basics, driven, high conviction people that are doing things that others aren't, how well they can do. Speaking of all the bear companies, a good company that kind of came back, Affirm, which is a buy now, pay later platform. We've talked about that plenty of times before. They've kind of had a huge comeback. They skyrocketed, quadrupled this year, over 400%. They're now worth $5 billion just based on a platform that, again, is a buy now, pay later platform, point of sale lender. I've talked about it in the past on CNBC, and it was during the crazy times, but I did say that people will be using this much more because of they're low on cash and they still want to consume. They're going to use these things, right? I would love to dive into their numbers more to see what is really driving their run up. But these are things that you have to be careful with, because again, they're highly volatile. But it's an interesting major come up for them. Financial planning news 529. So remember, we deal a lot with custodial accounts for our clients, allowing clients to have a minor, whether it's a son, daughter, that they want to have an account for, and they're on the account if they're the parent, and we're able to invest and grow that for them over periods of time. Another options for kids accounts are education savings accounts, 529s as well. There was a provision in 529s that, again, it was supposed to be used for qualified education expenses, but now a provision secure 2.0 allows money saved in a 529 college plan to be converted into a Roth individual retirement account tax-free after 15 years. So if your son, daughter, doesn't go to college and you started a plan 15 years ago, then now you can just convert it to a Roth IRA for them, and they're able to have that property invested and grown. It was one of the things that, I think why custodials are gaining popularity in my mind, because again, has the flexibility of being used for whatever, whether it's go to college or start a business. You have a little bit more flexibility with these 529s, education savings plans. They are strictly for college expenses, but now I like this ruling because it allows for people to, think outside of just college, or if it doesn't happen, it doesn't have to be that. It could be switched and rolled into, converted into a Roth individual retirement account or Roth IRA. It allows more flexibility, and that's going to be a big impediment for a big driver for people, because the flexibility is key when you really think about these things. That's another good thing to know. Let's talk about and pivot in our roundtable and talk about 2024 and what things people should look for. I found this article and I think it was good to talk about because there are some things that are still on the outlook for 2024 and what's going to really play into the backdrop of the markets for next year. The Fed stance. So the Fed has raised rates for, what is it, 18 months straight. And now we're looking at borrowing costs on a Fed benchmark basis at 5.25 to 5.5 range. Now the Fed is going to be cutting rates more than likely pretty soon, potentially in May. And so this means a looser, potential looser monetary policy, and a dovish Fed, which could mean a couple things. Usually when the Fed does cut rates, it's because something has cracked in the economy. We've talked about that many times. So you'll definitely see a pullback before a resurgence happens, when the cut actually happens. But we're going to watch the Fed's policy very closely in 2024, because now we're going to potentially get a pivot. I do think rates have to be higher for longer to slow down inflation, to slow down the economy before we do pivot. And so that's another thing. The timing is going to be crucial. Slowdown, that's another thing to watch in 2024. We've had periods of strong growth, even through pandemics, through craziness. And I'm talking economic growth, right? Like at an economic basis for a while. So now people are wondering, when are we going to see this looming downturn that we've been talking about? The economy, when are we going to see the economy slow down? Because it's been really resilient for years. And the Fed expects the economy to grow at 1.4% in 2024, which, if you take a 1.4% growth, they can't say it's going to be a negative growth rate. So that's pretty much their way of signaling we're slowing down in 2024. So it's really, what we have to watch. If it's slowing economic growth, what does that do? And if how does that affect other assets? Inflation's still on the mind of folks and everyone. That's going to be another theme still in 2024. What happens with inflation? We continue to cool, or a consumer is going to still drive prices up, or companies and going to drive prices up. So much of that is there. We have the election and we have other geopolitical stuff still hanging over the head. So those are still the themes of 2024. I predict it being a decently solid year. I think we get back into normal growth times. I think you'll see a lot of growth and asset rise when the Fed, after the Fed makes their cuts and starts to loosen monetary policy, you'll see assets continue to boom again. That's why for those that have stayed, we've locked in, we've done well. And again, we've, New Street continues to keep growing. We can give a little update on 2024. Another year of adding many, many household accounts that we invest for. Another year of adding incredible assets, sizes that I invest for on behalf of people. One of our venture companies raising, one of our venture investments raising another round here soon to be announced. Other ancillary businesses being worked on as well. So a lot in the pipeline in the New Street family, and a lot of people within the New Street community having new jobs, marriages, weddings, different things that are super exciting to see from them on a personal basis. Same thing for me as well. So 2024 year of reflection, I think the goals were hit in the 90-ish to 95% range. And a lot to be worked on too, though. I think 2024 is a year of high conviction, doing the things people want, and really being consistent, because again, that's going to be the barometer for, at least my personally, for different things to happen for people. So really, really big year 2024. It's huge. It's a huge catalyst for a lot of people to continue pushing things forward as we need to do. I did it the last episode. Not only did I do a roundtable, I'm doing the question of the day, question of the week. And that is, what are the five industries with the largest employments? Easy for me. I would say healthcare, tech. What else? State employees of some sort. I'm gonna say teachers, healthcare, tech, finance. There's a lot of finance professionals out there. That's all I have. Okay, teachers, elementary and school teachers. Got it. Ooh, full service restaurants. I knew I needed that one. I didn't get that. General medical surgical hospitals, healthcare. I said it. General merchandise retailers and temporary help services. Okay, the other ones were kind of iffy on my part. But that doesn't surprise me. I think you see healthcare continue to grow, full service continue to grow. Interesting on the school one. I don't know if that continues to grow or goes down, just depending on what we see in the future. Well, folks, another year of the Your Money Your Life podcast. We've shared, we've done stuff, we've done stuff for a whole another year for those listeners that have added, that have joined within the year. We're going to continue this in 2024. Of course, we're going to keep it going. Make sure you stay safe, happy, and healthy, and we will talk next week.